Hankerson hurt his foot playing with the kids yesterday. He did not practice today. Reed, with his concussion, was limited to drill work. Steve Bowen was limited to drill work as well. Chris Neal, limited with his calf. Full practice was Reed, Logan Paulson, and Montgomery.
Coach, is obviously, you know, an important storyline anytime someone goes back to a place where they've been. A lot of attention being made about you guys going back to Denver. Your thoughts on Tyler and Corey going back to play the Broncos?
Okay, now, so let's go to the next question. Well, you know, it's been... you know, it's been 4.5 years, so it's not like it was yesterday or the year before. So I think it's a little bit different than what normally happens when you're gone for 6 months or 9 months. You know, I've done it before when I was with the 49ers and with the Raiders. You go back to the place you're at, a lot of motion. I think this is a little bit different than most.
Yeah, but Mike, in this situation, you were there a long, long time. As you said, the other day, 21 years. You have a restaurant there. You have a really nice home there. Kyle grew up there. It's not your going back to San Francisco where you spent 3 years kind of thing.
Oh, no, it's something that you look forward to. You know, we've got so many friends there. You know, you spend 21 years, you raise your kids there. You know, people that you've spent a lot of time with. A lot of great experiences there. You know, 7 as assistant coach, 14 as a head coach, and, you know, that's been our home. So, yeah, it's something that you look forward to, and fans have, you know, what a great experience with the fans, and both as an assistant and a head coach. So, yeah, we got a lot of great memories there, no question about it.
Coach, having said all that, there's a game to play, and you faced...
There is?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
From what I've been told via the PR department, there's a game. And Peyton Manning, you faced several times in your career, obviously. Here's a guy who kind of came back to the game. What is it that you see in him that he's doing so well right now?
Well, number one, he's got a great supporting cast to go with him. And he knows the game extremely well. You know, he puts he knows where to go with the football as the ball's being snapped. He looks at defenses very quickly. It doesn't matter if you're coming with a 5-man, 6-man, 7-man blitz. He knows where to go with the football. He understands protections. He redirects the line to, you know, pick up a lot of different blitzes as well. But he gets rid of the ball so quick that he doesn't get sacked very many times, doesn't make very many mistakes. And that's one of the reasons they've racked up the points they've had. You know, they've got a good supporting cast. He knows what to do with the ball and usually puts them in a good play or gets them out of a bad play. So, yeah, he's pretty special.
Mike, how significant did that pursuit of Manning get? And do you ever kind of think back and wonder what if he had come here?
You know, you really don't. You know, after you have that a lot of times when you're thinking about the draft or free agency, and you know, after you have those conversations and you talk to somebody, I really had a strong feeling after talking to Peyton. You know, any time you have a brother within the same division, that wasn't going to happen. And so even though I enjoyed, you know, spending time with him, my gut was understanding from a family standpoint, it'd be very tough to come within the, you know, same division, so especially in the NFC East.
If I could go back to the Denver thing, they're planning a video tribute for you. Is that anything that they sort of ran by you, and what are your thoughts on that?
You know, they didn't. Tony told me one day, or Tony told me, I think, on Monday afternoon that that was going to happen. I just thought it was very thoughtful of them, and I'm sure it'll only be a few seconds, but it was, you know, it's a nice gesture.
Techniques have changed in light of the rules changes in the NFL. I mean, how do you try to teach guys to hit within the rules?
You know, I'd kind of like to address that more after today, you know, after the decision's been made, what direction they're going to go on. The appeal process is being heard right now. Maybe it's already finished, but if you don't mind, I'd like to talk about
I just mean in general, you know, the rules have been changing. You know, this thing has evolved over a number of years. And so as these rules have come in, what have you done as coaches to try to...
Well, I had a similar case with Kenoy Kennedy back in 2002. We were playing Miami on a Sunday night game, and he had already been fined twice. and he had a hit on Chambers. And what I had thought at that time, and when I looked at the film, you know, there was a lot of differences of opinion. And right before Canoy hit Chambers, he was pushed in the back, which obviously made him go helmet to helmet. At least that was my view of it. And we didn't get a chance to really go through appeal process. He was, you know, he was out for the next week. And, you know, hey, so you really don't know. You know, you got differences of opinion, go through appeal process. But I think what people are trying to do, at least from a coaching standpoint, you cannot have 15-yard penalties. It's going to cost you a game. And so not even talking about the way you teach, you can't have those things happen. You can't have helmet to helmet. So if you're close, all these officials, if they're going to make a mistake, they want to protect, you know, the player. And so if it's anywhere close to being a hit helmet to helmet, they're throwing a 15-yard flag. And that's what they're being told to do. So you get anywhere around that head, you got a chance to hurt your football team. So we're constantly emphasizing it, but it's tough in the heat of battle for these guys. You know, you're very competitive. You want to get after them. And then all of a sudden, a guy might duck at the last second, and all of a sudden you have helmet to helmet. They don't even look at intent. So I think it's a very tough situation.
Mike, follow up that question. A lot of your DBs today were talking about, and they say they think it's such an offensive-minded league, and you've been an offensive coach your whole career, that they kind of get targeted more than anybody else. They said, you know, Reed got slammed on the kickoff, I mean, onside kick, and nobody said anything about that. Mm-hmm. But if it's a DB, they're really watched much more closely.
Well, I'm going to bring that up at the next mini because that was one of the most vicious hits I've ever seen. I don't think I've ever seen a guy get hit quite like that at that speed at 10 yards. And Reed just being completely helpless. And I think that rule will be changed for the safety of the players. But that hasn't been brought up yet. But, you know, those are the type of – we all want players, obviously, the safety. We want player safety first. But there's a lot that goes into it, which we just talked about.
But do you think defensive backs are having a harder time adjusting to the changes in the league than anybody else?
Well, you know, we used to have wide receivers could, you know, block below the waist. There's been a lot of changes. You can't have wide receivers now block below the waist. The only way we could get people to have – to kind of get off of the wide receivers with bump coverage was get into their legs. Now that's illegal to do. So there's a lot of, you know, give and take, you know, through the years, both on both sides of the ball. Chop block on offense, hitting, you know, peeling back on somebody on the screen. So we've made some strides on both sides. It's not perfect, but, you know, we're at least going in the right direction.
What are some of the things that Roy is giving you in the red zone that maybe you're not getting from anywhere else?
Say that again?
What are some of the things that Roy is giving you in the red zone? What do you like there?
You know, I think I tried to emphasize this is, when we were in that fast-paced offense and Alou came in, I think he was a little bit fresher than everybody else. And he's an excellent running back as well. So he had a couple big plays there, I think, because he was fresh, hit the hole hard. We did a good job blocking for him. But I think his ability to be fresh at that time did help us out.
There's not anything about his particular style as compared to Alfred's?
No, he's very talented. And when a team's tired, and he's talented, and you block fairly well, you got a chance to get in the end zone. And I think that's what happened.
Mike, after coaching there for so many years, you saw the effect that the altitude had on lots of visiting teams. What is your general assessment and feeling of how much of an effect that is, or is it more mental?
Made that up a long time ago. There's nothing to it. No, there is something to it. You know, there's no question that if you ever go outside the area and you come back and you haven't been working out and you try to work out there and you haven't been working in that environment, it does take you a while to get used to it. That's why a lot of Olympians have trained in that area, you know, just for conditioning standpoint. So it is a little bit different. You try to go in as late as you can, and over the years they feel that is the best way to do it.
Mike, when you're going up against a quarterback like Peyton who has seen everything, what is the key for your defense to just trying to disrupt their flow and disguise what you're doing?
Well, it has been pretty hard. You got to play harder and you got to play better. And, you know, he does present a lot of different challenges to your defense. And we'll obviously have a game plan and hopefully we can do better than a lot of teams have.
What does having three running threats do for your offense? And do you ever remember?
Sorry, what was that?
What does having three running threats do for your offense? And do you remember a situation in Denver where you had a sort of a similar deal?
When you say three running threats?
In Robert, you know, three running threats, Robert, Alou, and Morris.
Oh, well, first of all, if your quarterback can run, he, you know, presents a lot of problems with defense. and they have to respect your running game, especially if you have a chance to run an option every once in a while, because it changes the responsibility of defensive players. So that's a little bit added pressure. But you still have to run a National Football League passing attack. And so the more you can do, and obviously the better execution you bring, the more effective your offense will be.
Coach, you may have a situation where you've got a converted corner playing safety and a guy you signed within the last 24 hours playing a lot this weekend against Peyton Manning. If that's the case, just from a personnel standpoint, I mean, how much differently will you guys have to coach defensively than you would in an ideal situation from your personnel?
Well, you know, everybody has injuries during the season. You got to deal with those injuries. A lot of times it's not the perfect scenario, especially going against a guy like Peyton. So we'll keep our fingers crossed, and hopefully Reed will be ready and Merriweather will be ready. If not, we'll have some guys step up and play well.
And then just a quick follow-up on Brandon. When we talked to you last, about an hour before he got suspended, you were still expecting he was not going to be suspended.
Mm-hmm.
Had you talked to anybody before you told us that, or was that just your guess about the situation?
It was just my guess. I was trying to help myself, too. Anybody else?
Yeah, Mike, back to Robert and his running with the big runs over the past couple of weeks. Can you shed some light on how much of that is Robert being more comfortable in improvising versus how you may have expanded your play calling with his runs? What's been the breakdown there?
Well, I think there's a little bit of everything. You know, we talked about early. You know, you fell behind. You couldn't run that style of offense. Robert's feeling more comfortable with himself. We feel like we can do some things we couldn't have done a little bit earlier. Then you get in a game like that, they did take away Alfred the whole game, which gave Robert some opportunities to, you know, run the football. Next week it might be just the opposite. They'll take, you know, take Robert away and Alfred will be carrying the ball, or it may help you slow down a team rushing the quarterback. So there's a lot of different things that we look at, and we're trying to run an offense that gives us the best chance to be successful. And part of that is the evaluation of your personnel and their injuries, their talent, and different things we talked about a year ago.
Mike, if you guys do find yourselves down two safeties this weekend, mm-hmm. how much of a help is it to have Wilson, D-Hall, Biggers, you know, corners that can also play safety and have played safety at some point this season?
Well, you have to have depth, and we do have some depth, and like I said before, everybody's going to have injuries, and guys got to step up once they get that opportunity.
Mike, the fact that Steven and Reed were able to do something today, does that give you some optimism that they might be able to tough it out for the weekend?
Yeah, you really don't know, especially with Reed. He's got to take these concussion tests, and it's based on how he does on those tests. But like I said, that hit that he had was – you don't see a hit like that very often. I haven't seen a hit like that in a long time in the National Football League.